The right music at the right time. Come on now. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Well, you ready for this morning?
Yes.
I want to talk to you about Pentecost fire.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist said, "There is one coming who's mightier than I. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." We hear so much about the Holy Ghost, but we don't want to ever forget about the fire and the purpose of the fire of the Spirit and why the fire came on the day of Pentecost. Fire and wind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, when we talk about the fire, we got to go back to Jesus because he is our prime example that we look at. Now, come on. Jesus himself. And the Bible says Jesus was a man on fire. John chapter 2, verse 17. Jesus said this. He said, "The zeal for thine house hath consumed me." The zeal for thine house hath consumed me. Talked about the Father's house. The Boss translation of that same verse in John 2, 17 says, "My zeal for God and his work burns hot within me." Woo! Glory to God. Does the work for God excite you? Does it burn in you like it does, like it did in Jesus? Well, we're about to find out today where your fire level is. Woo, my Lord. Here we go. Also, Jesus had a burning readiness to do all the Father's will. A burning readiness to do the Father's will. There was a great zeal and an enthusiasm to do the Father's will. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, Jesus said these words. He says, "I have come to bring fire on the earth." Woo! Glory to God. That just excites me. Just that one verse right there. Jesus said, "I've come to bring what? Fire on the earth." Woo! Glory to God. The Rye translation says, "I came to set the world on fire." Are you on fire today?
Yes.
If not, we're going to believe by the end of this service, the fire is falling.
Yes.
The Bible says that our God, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, "Our God is a fire from the waist up, and a fire from the waist down." Woo! Glory. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, it says, "He is an all-consuming fire."
Yes.
Glory to God. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "He's the God that answers by fire." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalms 50, verse 3, it says, "A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies." Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's a God of fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's not so much as being fired up as it is about getting under the fire fall. What, Pastor Debbie? What do you... Not so much as being fired up as it is in getting under the fire fall. You see, in the natural, fire goes up, but in the supernatural, fire comes down. Woo! Woo! Glory, easy. Hallelujah. And in 1 Kings 18, verse 24, Elijah called fire down from heaven. We talked about supernatural fire comes down. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, New Living Translation says, "Fire came down on Mount Sinai." It says that all of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in a form of fire. Glory to God. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Fire came down on the day of Pentecost." We're talking about Pentecost fire, the purpose of fire. Why did the fire come, Pastor Debbie? My God, Jesus said he came to set the world on fire. That means he don't leave nobody out, does it?
That's right.
It depends on you, where you are, and what you go. Where, Did you know in Acts chapter 2 that the early church was birthed in fire? And did you know that the early church in Acts chapter 2 was accused of intoxication in its first 24 hours of existence? Come on now. In its first 24 hours of existence, the early church was accused of being intoxicated. Woo! Glory, I don't know about you, but that's a good characteristic of being a child of God. Being accused of being intoxicated. I am. I'm getting there. Hold on, Pastor Chris. When the fire of God falls, the fire is falling today. When the fire of God falls, many people often find themselves under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Spirit intoxication. Oh my golly. I said Holy Spirit intoxication. Let me tell you something. There is no high like the Most High. You know, before you got born again, you might have been accused of being under the influence. But let me tell you, since you've been born again, gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, have you been accused of being under the influence? If not, you're lacking some more fire. Yes. Woo! Glory to God. Getting under the right influence is where it counts. Y'all didn't hear that. Getting under the right influence is where it counts. Where you become so full of God and intoxicated. Look, God didn't intend for us to face this world empty. Oh. I said, God did not intend for us to face the world that we live in today empty. No, He intended for us to face it on fire. Glory to God. So filled up, so fired up that when the devil shoots the fiery darts, they repel off of you. Come on now. Who lives inside of us? Who represents us? Who do we represent? Woo, my God, it's time to show the fire. What does the fire do, Pastor Debbie? Well, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3. It says, suddenly there was a sound. Oh, my God, just right there. Suddenly there was a sound. Something was heard. There was a wind and there was a fire. Ooh, the combination of the wind and the fire. And it says that the fire came and set upon each of them, and they were all filled, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does the fire do? What was the fire for? Number one, the fire of God illuminates you. There are passages in the Bible that maybe you could not understand, but when the fire of God comes in our lives, it becomes as simple as ABC. It brings a light on the Word of God that you never saw or understood before. Come on now. The fire of God, it illuminates us. Fire of God, number two, the fire of God reveals. It brings a revelation of yourself as God sees you. Not as you see you, as God sees you. It brings a revelation. It reveals. So you see yourself as God sees you. Woo, you know, too many of us are looking at ourselves in the way that we were born or where we were born or who we were born to. And come on now, we got to get our identity in Christ. That's where it counts, our identity in Christ, right? Number three, the fire of God makes us glow. As we're supposed to grow hotter and hotter for God, not dimmer and dimmer. Oh, come on now. I said, we're supposed to grow hotter and hotter for God in our walk and our relationship with Him, not colder and colder. I mean, once you get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, that's just the start. Come on now, that's just the entry level. But you're supposed to grow hotter and hotter for God, be burning brighter and brighter, be a witness for Him on the earth today. Woo, my God. So we said the fire of God makes us glow. As we grow hotter and hotter for God, our love for Christ grows and increases more and more. Our love for the truth grows and increases more and more. Our love for perishing souls. Where is our compassion for souls? When you get on fire with the Holy Ghost and He begins to deal with the innermost part of your being, your heart will burn with the same desires that burn in the Father's heart. We must have a compassion for the lost in these days. It should bother you when you go by somebody, when you ride through your neighborhood or you go through your community or your counties and you see the lost. That should bother you so much that you decide to get on your knees and pray for them, because they're going to spend someplace in eternity, either in heaven or hell. There's only two places. Do you care about where people are going to spend eternity? So the fire of God makes us glow. Number four, the fire of God refines us. It purifies. It cleanses. Do you know the number one symbol for the Holy Ghost is fire? The number one symbol of the Holy Spirit is fire. Why in the world fire, Pastor Dave? Because of the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work and refining work of our lives. The purification that comes as He continues to separate you more and more unto Himself. Look, the Holy Ghost, He's a jealous lover. He's a lover of our soul. He wants us all for Himself. He's jealous when something comes between you and Him that you love more than Him. He comes to invade our lives, and He wants to take charge and possess us so that we become fully possessed with the Spirit of God, so that He takes charge over our emotions, over our mind, over our feelings, over our actions, so that it all exemplifies Jesus Christ in everything we say and do, how we live, what we do, what we say on a continual basis, not just on the day of Pentecost. So fire of God refines, purifies, cleanses us. You know, when the Holy Ghost begins to deal with our lives when you get saved and born again, do you know He's got the three levels of purification and sanctification that takes place in our lives if you allow Him? I said if you allow Him and let Him. The first level He begins to deal with is those workings of the flesh. The Holy Ghost begins to habitually... Anything that's habitually destructive to your flesh, it could be smoking, it could be drinking, it could be doing drugs, it could be chewing tobacco, it could be overeating. Any of those things, the Holy Ghost will begin to deal with you about those things. And as you trust Him and as you give yourself more to Him, those things begin to fall off your life and have no more control over you. Then the Holy Ghost begins to deal on the second level with our souls. Where it comes in, we deal with unforgiveness and hatred and lying and envy and manipulation and rejection, all those things. He begins to deal with those things and goes into the depths of our souls and begins to, come on now, the fire of God. We're talking about the fire of God. It reaches down into the very depths of our souls and begins to deal with those things. So those things are no longer controlling your life, so that you're not that effective witness that He's called you to be and wants you to be. And then the third level, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with anything with incorrect beliefs and wrong doctrines. because he knows those things will keep you from receiving God's highest and God's best when it comes to this word right here. So are we allowing him and letting him continue to do his sanctifying work, purification, as he continues to separate us more and more unto himself, because he wants us all for himself, let me tell you. I said he wants you all for himself. Number five, what does the fire do? It consumes. Fire consumes. It burns up all the dross, all vanity, self-righteousness, personal ambition. So that our hearts burn with his fire and his desire. When we desire God, we receive desires from God. When we desire him and to know him and to want to know him, that just draws him in more and more to want to continue to separate you unto himself for his purposes and his plans. You know, us today, I mean, well, we know in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, he is an all-consuming fire. So fire consumes. But us today in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, he says he will make his ministers a flame of fire. Romans 12, 11, it says, be on fire with the Spirit. The Message translation says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is an intoxication of the Spirit, getting under the right influence. Yeah, y'all still with me, right? The baptism, when John the Baptist said, there's one coming mightier than I, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, we can never forget the fire when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It brings a high spiritual temperature in our lives that's inflamed by the Holy Ghost to be fiery hot, having living fervor. It is the opposite of cold, unemotional, and dignified. Uh-oh, did you say that word dignified, Pastor Debbie? Yeah. Yes, I did. Let me say that one more time. It causes a high spiritual temperature, inflamed by the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. To be fiery hot, having living fervor. It is the opposite of cold, unemotional, and dignified. God says he don't want us to be lukewarm. He says you're either cold or you're hot. I said he said you're either cold or you're hot. Woo! I want to be counted as one that's hot on fire for God. Amen? Glory to God. It also represents in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, it's a holy flame of an inward burning of God's love and compassion and zeal. We want a zeal with knowledge, not a zeal without knowledge, a zeal with knowledge, a fervor it brings in prayer and praise, a righteous indignation against the devil and all his works. This is what the fire of God does. Stir us up, Lord. Fire is falling. Fire is falling. Yeah. Hallelujah. Here's another one. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, it immerses us into an intensity of zeal into the likeness of Jesus Christ. to make us into pure molten metal, so that we're so hot for God that it travels like hot oil from vessel to vessel to vessel. Woo, that's a good one. Love it, love it, love it. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire is for power. The personal private, oh my. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire and you receive the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's the personal, private, devotional tongue. Glory to God. It brings a power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall be endued with power from on high. Endued with power, Pastor. Power. That word power there in the Greek is dunamis, and it means an ability, an efficiency, a might, a divine enablement that comes from heaven itself. And it says, you've been given a miraculous faculty. Yeah. Ooh, oh my. Let me stop right there. We are in the age of the miraculous. Be it known or unknown, we're in the age of the miraculous. This world, the earth that we live on right now, needs to see the signs, wonders, and the miracles, that we serve a God of miracles. And you have been given that, if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you've been given that power and endowment, a clothing. With this endowment of ability and might to go out here and exercise authority and dominion over all the works of the devil. It's a divine power overcoming all resistance. What in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 he said, and it will make you a witness. That word witness means a producer of evidence. That he's not dead, he's alive. Jesus is fully alive. And he's living, walking, and talking, and breathing. You are the walking, talking, living, breathing, pulsating body of Jesus Christ on the earth today. Come on now. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Why does it tell us in John chapter 14, verse 12, those that believe on me shall do the works that I do, and even greater works than these shall they do? Yeah. That's what he said. Amen. Clothed with power from on high. Hallelujah. Matthew 10, verse 1, he gave us power and authority over all sickness and diseases. Luke 9:1, he gave us power and authority over devils and demons, all devils and demons. He told us in Luke 10:19, you've been authorized and deputized. I gave you power and authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
That's right.
He gave you and I. The thing is, have you received him? Have you received the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire, Pentecost fire? The fire is falling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fire in the wind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we turn to Acts, let me just put this. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and Pentecost, we know it means 50 days, where the 120 had gathered up into the upper room, and they were praying, because Jesus said, tarry into the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed or endued with power from on high. So they were up in the room waiting patiently, seeking the Lord, just like he told them to do. And it says on the verse 1, it says, when that day had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were all together desiring the same thing at the same time, wanting the same thing. And it says, suddenly, glory to God. There's a suddenly of God right here. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like the suddenlies of God. It says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Wind, Pastor Debbie? Wind. Well, what is the purpose of the wind? What does wind do? Wind, the wind of God draws attention to an unseen power. Come on now. It captures the attention of sinners and draws them and pulls them in. The wind, attention. It brings attention, draws attention to an unseen power. The wind also it purifies the atmosphere. Wind purifies the atmosphere. It brings an atmosphere of cleansing where you can't hide your sins anymore. Where you want to confess and repent of your sins. We're talking about the wind of God that came on the day of Pentecost. And thirdly, it brings awesome power. The wind of God brings a true humility and repentance. A change to those that are under that fire fall in the wind that's blowing. Where there's a true humility and repentance. And then the people are raised in power to live righteously, victoriously in an anti-God, sin-filled world. I'm going to say that again. It brings awesome power. A power that brings true humility and repentance. Where you are serious about humbling yourself before the Almighty God, and there is a genuine repentance that comes from your heart about turning away from an abhorrence of sin in that lifestyle, and raises you up and a power to live righteously, victoriously in an anti-God, sin-filled world. D.L. Moody made this statement. He said, keep yourselves on fire and set yourselves on fire so that others will come and watch you burn. So today my question to you is, where are you when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire? The fire is falling. You can get under the fire fall so that you become intoxicated under the right influence. Hallelujah. Because that's a compliment. Hallelujah. So I want to read Acts chapter 2, where we started in verse 1 and verse 2. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Is the wind and the fire, the combination on the day of Pentecost, both of them working. The wind and the fire. And it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. Oh, back up in verse 3, I'm sorry. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Fire. We talked about Pentecost fire. It set upon each of them. They were all filled. You know, it's not just about a one-time filling. It's up to us to stay filled. In the book of Acts, the early church, they were filled and filled and filled and filled over and over and over again. They understood the importance of being filled and filled and refilled. So it says, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Here we go. He said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, look at verse 14. But Peter recognized the moment and the opportunity, and he made the most of it. What does Peter say? Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that you dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Woo, he's getting their attention. Verse 15, he said, for these are not drunk as you suppose. Right. Glory to God. He's talking about there's another drunkenness. Yeah. Another being under the influence. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day, about 9 o'clock in the morning. Verse 16, he said, but this is that. Say, this is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Well, ever since Pentecost, we're in the last days. This is the last of the last days. This is what God is doing. What is God doing, Pastor Debbie? He says, I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. That's what God is doing. Are you getting under the firefall? Are you getting under the firefall? He says, I'm pouring out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. And let's park there 1 minute right here. I love it. I love it. He said he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. He says, sons and daughters, where are the youth at in here this morning? Let me see the youth. God, but where? Huh? One hand? Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters, the youth. I'm telling you, Cornerstone Fellowship has got a great youth group here. Yes, we do. Bowden, Angela. Y'all come on up here. Any youth in here today, get on up here. I just sense the power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost for the youth in here today. Come on. Get under the firefall now. Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. And Vivian, Teresa, Noah. Look at that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on up here, Isaac. Glory to God. Christian, come on up. That's right. Y'all, come on up here. Hallelujah. Pastor Christian. Pastor Christian. I just sense we start with the leaders right here. Bowden, Angela. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Fresh fire! Fire! Karabo santara basita.
Glory to God.
Fire! Fresh fire! Fire! Fresh fire in the name of Jesus. Fire in the name of Jesus, God, set them on fire for you to burn for you, my God, my God. Ooh. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Fire in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah. You felt that, Joel, didn't you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Vivian, fire! The fire of heaven coming. Get under that fire.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for setting them on fire. The fire! Ooh, glory. Yeah, the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Difference makers, Lord.
Yes.
Yes,
yes, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The fire of God, my God.
Thank you, Jesus. For you.
Yes, yes. The fire of the Holy Ghost. May it burn in their beings,
yes.
Lord God, consuming everything. Yes, igniting.
Thank you, Lord.
Consuming.
You,
Lord. It's all right to laugh. That comes
yeah.
with it. The laughter is just an outflow of what went in.
Yes.
In fact, you need to laugh more often. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
So that verse right there, it talks, it starts with the youth, sons and daughters. This generation, I'm telling you that God is raising up. His hand is upon you, whether you realize it or not, His hand is upon you, and His fire is also on you. Why? Why, Pastor Deb? Because He wants you to go out there into this world that we're living in and be a flamethrower. Come on now. He wants you to be a flamethrower. That you ignite others wherever you go. You're contagious,
yes.
contagious, contagious. They'll be drawn to you. You'll be contagious. And you say, well, I don't know why I like hanging out with you. Well, let me start telling you why right here. Run with fire. Blaze a trail. Run with fire and blaze a trail. Make those pioneering advancements that God has for you and wants you to do. Hallelujah. You'll never be the same.
Thank you.
Never be the same. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then it goes right on to say, it says, He's pouring out His Spirit upon sons and daughters. They'll prophesy. I believe it. God, a word of God will come forth out of their mouths and they'll be astonished. And even the people they'll be speaking to will be astonished
yes.
at what comes out of their mouths.
Yes.
Oh, golly, y'all be ready. Be ready. Be ready.
Yes.
You're a mouthpiece for God. Hallelujah. Yes, you are.
Yes.
He says, and young men. How many young men we got in here? Yeah, hey, yeah. Young men and women. God doesn't leave anybody out. He says, you'll see, young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. Older men shall dream dreams. Then he says, on my servants, on my handmaidens, the women I'm pouring out in those days. And they shall prophesy. So He didn't leave nobody out. And He says, I will show signs and wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath. Blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. That's the glory of the Lord. In verse 21, it says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. So get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready. There's a great harvest coming in, but He wants to use you as a fisherman
yes.
to go out there and catch, to go out there and catch, to go out there and
yeah.
catch,
yeah.
to go out there and catch, to go out there and catch those that are lost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You may return back to your seats. Hallelujah. Praise God. Appreciate our youth and our youth leaders. Amen. So Jesus said, I come to set the world on fire. Are you one that He's allowed, that you've allowed Him to set on fire this morning? Praise God. If not, you can be. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. We cannot forget the fire. And what all the fire is for. And then the combination of the fire and the wind.
Yes.
both of them combined together. What a powerful, powerful combination. God didn't come and show up as some little weakling. He came and showed up as a strong, mighty, come on now. The God that we serve is a mighty God. Mighty in power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you're in here this morning,